Welcome to the Florence Radio Poet Society. According to U.S. Poet Laureate Joy Harjo, poetry is a way to bridge and to make bridges from one country to another, from one person to another, and from one time to another. Poems are carriers of dreams, knowledge, and wisdom, and through them tell stories of past and present and loss, reckoning and myth-making. Good morning. I'm here today with Wendy Mulhern, who is a neighbor and friend of a very dear friend of mine of many years. And she's going to share her work, and she will introduce it.
Hi. Yeah, I'm Wendy Mulhern, and I'm a poet. And poetry is really my I am. It's the way that I identify myself, although I didn't always know that. But about 10 years ago, I started a practice of trying to write a poem a day. And I get, you know, probably 5 poems a week. And I started out writing sonnets, which I didn't even know what they were when I started. But eventually, what came to define poetry for me was that it had to be my most honest statement of what was up for the day. And so my poems became a sort of a chronicle of my learnings and my emotions and my life. From them, I've collected poems that I've published into books, and I have 10 of them now. Today, I'm mostly going to be reading from my newest book, which just came out in July, and this is my most personal work, and also it has to do with a very tough thing in life, which was that our daughter died at the age of 25 in 2018, and so my daily poems took a track right through that whole process of the grief and the coming to terms with what life is now, and also some amazing spiritual windows that opened to me, showing out views and understanding of being that changed me entirely. So the first poem that I'm going to read, which is called Morning Song, was actually written as a song. Sometimes they come to me on bicycle rides, and this did. And it was almost a year after Heather died, and I was back at my mother's place, which is on Martha's Vineyard, and I was bicycling to the beach. And this poem started to come to mind as I rode, and I knew that if I entertained it that I would cry, and I did. And then the poem goes on to tell this story of what I experienced. So here we go. Morning Song. I have a bag of tears somewhere in my head. I feel it jiggle with the bumps along the road. Maybe I'll take it out and drink some down, water my memories. Oh, my sweetest love, I miss you in my future. I miss your presence, too. The water comes and takes away my footprints. Something like that sometime may take me, too. I found a feather amidst my sobs along the sand, so small and perfect. I smoothed it with my hand. And as I always do, I had to take it for a sign. I had to listen for your presence in my mind. Didn't I show you? You said. I answered, yes, you did. Then you will take to heart that light-filled vision. Your heaviness is like those clumps of snow disappearing, dense because they're melting. Take that feather and learn to fly sometime. Get ready to leave it all behind. Not that you're going anywhere, just being redefined. That's how I'll see you on the other side.
Wow. That is absolutely wonderful. Thank you.
So I am going to share two poems next that came in the day after, the first time I wrote a poem after Heather died, and then the one afterwards. And the reason, the interesting thing about this experience was that there were two states of myself occurring at the same time. And one, of course, was the torrents of grief. And the other was this amazing realization that there's no such thing as death, and that my daughter was alive and present, and that there was this vast realm that we existed in, that we exist in, which is so much bigger than anything I'd ever experienced. So this one, going through it. Wind-driven rain whips at the house. Rain falls through me in waves, in recurring torrents. I'm like a spring tree, my buds paused, my limbs wet, water following its path along my roots. I am not melting, though it may feel like it. The soil will receive all of this. My leaves will use it to open out and grow.
Wow. Go on, yeah.
And this one is transparent. Well, I'm more transparent now, it seems. Like I've part way come with you into the place where these weights just fall through me, and the constraints of time and space and body don't apply, at least as much. This state of me is something I observe and ponder and curiously feel what it's like to be at least somewhat unbound by physics, to be caught up in different motivation, to move like light through my day.
Wow, that's beautiful. Your imagery is absolutely outstanding. I love it.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing. This is a powerful thing to share. I would think every time you read those, you feel again the pain.
It's, you know, some of them bring the pain and some of them bring the realization of this just very different state. And I was half and half. Sometimes the times of pain came much later and they'd come through, but then I had this awareness, this different expanded of awareness of the world that I could come back to in all times. And so this was an ongoing comfort to me.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. Did you have any visual representations of this state?
Yeah, there was the experience of Heather's presence after she was gone that was like a bright light that just darted around. And there was an experience of it being a release that she released into the world, and that all of the things and people that she loved could get a spurt of that. I actually, skipping in order of what I wrote down, there's a poem that I wrote about that called Bright Release. Bright Release. What will you do with this? Mothers, take it. Use it to love your children even more than you have before. Fathers, use it as a way to deepen grace, to find your footing in the place where your nobility touches ground. Brothers, sisters, friends, use this to remember how tender and how tensile is your connection to each other, how paramount it is to keep these ties awake in your heart. All of you, take this bright gift, this strong release of light, this nourishment of life. Use it to celebrate our common source and the fountain of our days.
Yeah. Sounds like a plan to me. Yeah, your children are just so valuable.
So another part of the experience of dealing with grief was trying to come back to our lives, which were completely shattered. Everything. This poem is about that, and it's called Time and Times and Half a Time. The heaping apple cart tips over. The rolling hopes and expectations jostle and fall, bouncing along roads lost to us now. We can't even begin to gather them back. And the cart is broken anyway, one wheel following the apples down, careening and ringing like a coin. And it makes no sense to us to go back, to start over. What would it be to us at this point? So, in the aftermath, we wait to be lifted, our lives to be born along a different arc. This poem, As We Move On. You will bring us joy every day, long beyond the tears. Joy of presence, joy of spirit, joy of every sweet thing we learn from you. You still bring us the hum of strong connection, the swift running of emotion, and the sense of how important all this is. Not schemes and plans, but simple, daily being with each other. You still reach us every time we greet you in our hearts. So very often when I have spoken to other parents or they have heard about this loss, they almost always say that they can't imagine it. And that's true, I think, in some sense, that you can't imagine it, mostly because it would be too painful and you just feel like you don't want to go to that place of pain. What people therefore don't know is that in these places of great loss, there is a source of sustenance. There's a spiritual depth that comes and lifts us up. On the dust jacket of my book, it shows I had another friend who also lost a daughter, and she sent us a text that told about that there are forces of great grace that will usher you through this, and that's a true thing. And this poem talks about the juxtaposition of two worlds, maybe, changes. The only place we've ever lived is in the place where we can never die. This isn't what it looks like, these days, these goals, whatever I've thought of them before, these changes. Now I'll keep paying attention to what lights us up deep down at the source, what makes us live and move before we even enter all the surface fray. This isn't what it looks like, but it is something. Indeed, it overrides whatever I had thought. These changes, this which never changes, this which I may find to be enough.
Mm-hmm. Maybe one can hope and dream.
One thing that I have experienced is the sense that death really isn't a real force, and that we are still connected to those we love. This poem is called Still Talking to Heather. Here is a thing that is beautiful, your life and what it proved, what it establishes even now, that no one ever has to think their presence is expendable, their friendship unneeded or unwanted. You are here, with your ready hug and your deep empathy, and you have showed us that no one needs to wait to love, and no one has to wait to be beloved. So we go back along the weaving of a life, the places in the past where strands have tangled, We pick them up and lay them back in place, gently and deftly, as your hands always moved. We set things right all along the years. We feel in doing this that you are here.
Wow. Well, it's, you know, it's deep conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, I can't come up with anything facile. I mean, I love it. It is, it's deeply touching, and the losses I've had
mm-hmm.
are affected by listening to your loss, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a reminder of where we need to go.
Yeah.
And in our feelings about things. So, Wendy, how does one get this collection?
Well, this is a book that I wrote that I put out in July. It's called Time and Times and Half a Time. And you can get it from any bookstore. They'll have to order it, probably. And they may have to have you prepay and ship it to you. But you can get it that way. I hear you can also get it on Amazon, but I would prefer that you patronize your favorite bookstore, and also that will let them know that this is a book that other people might also like to see, and I would love for people to get a chance to see it.
I think it's a valuable tool, in a way, to open people to the idea that maybe we need to look at it differently when we lose someone we love.
Yeah, and you have to, of course, look at it in the most honest way you can, and that's what I feel is important, not to go to where you think people think you should be,
right,
but just where you are, and right, there is comfort there.
Right.
So my husband and I had the need to mend our lives, and we ended up throwing ourselves into a project that had to do with homesteading in Marcola, Oregon. And this is a poem that reflects that. It's called Our Days. We do what we can in the aftermath of tears, in the relentless beauty of days, and the work that is too much for us. We will go home again, tired to the bone and weathered, but also saturated in song, tree song and cricket song, and the creaking flap of raven flight. We will return, as we have so many times. We'll take up the work we couldn't finish. We'll struggle through the cold of the long edges of days, and be graced by their brilliance, and learn the meaning of work, perhaps, and the meaning of praise.
Mm. Wow, lovely.
So I want to leave you with this poem from Time and Times, my last one, The Choir of Heaven. To bring in range the choir of heaven, consider what it means that there be no more death, not now or ever, that the whole veil be drawn away and we perceive that no one and nothing has ever died. If there has been no loss of loved ones or of wisdom or of life experience, of ancient ways of knowing, of lessons dearly learned, of birds and animals, of fish and trees, of anyone who loved them. That whole choir of ancestors and children and newly resurrected hope would fill the realm of home, would fill infinity. Yes, I will be there too, and yes, I too will sing.
That's wonderful, absolutely wonderful.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So I'd like to also read a few poems from an older book of mine that was published in 2014 that's called The Law of Life, which is a collection based on a lot of awakening that was coming to me in those years about the nature of our connection to life and the earth and the really powerful and unquenchable nature of life. And I'm just going to read a few. The book actually has four chapters, address different angles, but I'm just going to read a few. This one's from the last chapter that's called The Tutelage of Life. It's called No Hurry. There's no hurry here in the wayward wandering of bees or in the darting flit of smaller insects. No hurry in the dark, damp bed of seeds as moisture slowly moves in towards their center. No hurry in their swell, their split, their first root sprout uncurling, or in the turn of sun across the sky through soft cloud edges burning. All the gifts that softly rise against the glow of muted skies or in the brilliance of their unsheathed blue know in their code how they must grow, and so they do. There's no hurry here. You too can walk this calm, drinking in the strength of days, your hope, your balm. Mm. So one of the chapters of this book, The Law of Life, is called Your Hunger, and it has to do with the hunger that I think all of us are searching in our lives to fill. And this is called In Answer to Your Question. There is a yes that whispers in the softest tones, as intimate as kisses, small as a cricket's chirp, but opens out a chorus of response that in its vast resounding sounds a universe. It says, you are enough, and you will have enough within you at every step to light your way and be a light for others. Your internal universe has countless stars, all of them bright enough to guide you home.
Lovely. Heck.
This one is from the first chapter of The Law of Life. That chapter is called Earth Song, and this one is called Hollows. Sound loves hollows, silver shafts of flutes, deep bodies of cellos, wet echoes of tunnels, and the ever-longing span between the heart and throat. In the roundness of the cavity, concave convergence of the waves, the sound can gather and dance and dance and gather strength till it emerges pure and confident. Some hollows must remain unfilled, must wait in ready emptiness to send the sweet song down the cove of deep desire, must welcome in the circled emptiness, a steady vigilance that holds the still that gathers joy.
That holds the still?
Yeah, as in still as in distillation,
right?
But also as in still. Ness.
Ah, interesting.
This one is back to the Your Hunger section of The Law of Life, and it's called Mirrors. I think your soul is beautiful because you mirror me. I see myself seen in your eyes, and what I see you see is beautiful. I see your soul as beautiful. And can't believe the things you say about the dark inside, since they don't match the light I see when I see you see me. You think my soul is beautiful, not for my native talents, not for my hard-earned insights, not for my steady tending through the darkness of my inner flame, but for the way I saw you beautiful when you saw me, when I felt you knew my inner name.
Well, that addresses the subject of a private name that people carry with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lovely.
This from The Law of Life is from the second chapter, which is called Glimmer, which is about getting a sense of what has to change now that we are aware of the presence of the Law of Life. This is called We Are Home. There will be no pretending, no play-acting, no terrified attempts to be someone who knows how to move, what to do, how to decide. There will be no more skittering unmoored across the surface of what calls itself our life, no more posturing in efforts to be someone who has arrived. We are here, as clouds that momentarily disperse reveal. We have been here for a long time, and we have always owned ourselves, and we know how to move and what to do, and how to nourish things and make them grow, and how to bless, how to be whole. There will be no more pretending, for we are home.
Yes, we are home. Andy, we really need to tie this up now. Would you like to say anything else?
Yes. Well, first of all, Edie, I'd like to thank you so much for this opportunity to come and be on your lovely show and share my poetry, which I deeply love. And I want to mention, I read from two of my books, Time and Times and Half a Time, which is my newest book, and The Law of Life, which is another one of my books. Both of them you can get by ordering it from your favorite bookstore. I also have 8 other books, because I have 10 total. You can get them all the same way. Just go to a bookstore and ask for Wendy Mulhern's books, and the list of 10 books will come up, and you can ask them to order them. And I would love to have you see more of my poems, because I feel that when you receive my poems, you complete the circuit. And it takes your perception and your heart in order to make them come alive. Thanks.
Well, you're certainly welcome, and we've loved having you. And doubtless we will have you again for reading from another collection or two.
Oh, thank you so much.
You take care.
You
bye-bye.
Too. Bye.
This concludes our lyrical odyssey of this week's Florence Radio Poet Society. Come join us with your own words and consider becoming part of our poetry show. Call 541-997-5252 to learn more about airing your poetry on KXCR, your community radio station. We'll be back.